Last week we started a study that we are going to try to complete this week, this morning in fact, the way of understanding. So we began our study last week in Proverbs chapter 9 in verses 5 through 9 where the Lord tells us plainly there is a way, a pathway, a road of understanding. There's a way we have to follow, a road we have to walk down in order for us to be able to gain spiritual understanding of the will of God. And in Proverbs 9, 5 through 9, he says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." So here in that passage, we can see the contrast between the wicked man and the righteous man, the one who will have understanding and the one who will not. And it does come down to, as one of the major components in the emphasis here on this road of understanding, is for us to receive the Lord's correction. If we're going to reject or despise that, if we're going to respond negatively when the Lord is telling us in his word that we need to change things in our lives, then we're not going to gain understanding of his will. But if we will humble ourselves and receive the correction that comes from the Lord through his word, then that is the road of understanding. And then last week we spent quite a bit of time looking at the fear of the Lord, as the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. We saw that in Job 28, verse 28. And then as we went through and looked at several passages that teach us about the fear of the Lord and loving and seeking to do righteousness and hating and turning away from what is evil, and how that involves and requires our receiving the correction from God's word. And so the fear of the Lord being the beginning of this wisdom and understanding is very much tied to what the Lord taught us there in Proverbs chapter 9. That is the way of understanding for us to receive the Lord's correction. So we want to continue that study this morning. And at the outset here, we want to particularly go through and look at several passages of scripture, and this is going to be in the Proverbs that we want to spend the next few minutes in particularly, but just to look at how many times the Lord teaches this particular part of the way of understanding in his word, especially in the book of Proverbs, and in the first chapter of it, in fact, starting with the very first verse of the book of Proverbs. I mean, this particular teaching about receiving correction from the Lord, it is a major, major point of emphasis and teaching in the book of Proverbs. But in Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 6, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Well, so the very book of Proverbs begins with this teaching that we need to seek to perceive the words of understanding, but we have to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Then we have to hear to increase in our learning. So we have to receive it. We have to listen to it. If we don't listen to it and we don't receive it, then we're not going to have understanding from the Lord, his wisdom and knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, he says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, if those words seem familiar to our ears, having studied the New Testament a lot, as we should, well, we would recognize that those verses of Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12 are quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. And so this is something, it's again, like the fear of the Lord that is central to this. This is not something that's part of the law of Moses or confined to that. It's something that God has taught in his word. It was a requirement of man from the beginning, has always been, and is what the Lord continues to require of man and to teach us to do. To listen to him, to receive his words, to listen to him when he corrects us, to turn our feet to him to do his will. Now, when the children of Israel were under the law of Moses, that applied to what he instructed them through that law. But what about God's people for all those centuries before that? Well, they still had to listen to God, to seek the Lord and listen to him and turn their feet to him. And what about us under the law of Christ? Well, that's why the fear of the Lord that's taught in Psalm 34 is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we saw last week. It's also the same reason why this part of the way of understanding in Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 is also quoted in Hebrews chapter 12, where we're told not to despise the chastening of the Lord. Well, that's what the foolish will do. That's what the wicked do. And they, when correction comes, they're going to despise it, they'll scorn it, they'll hate it, they'll turn on the one who's giving it. Now, many times, God's correction from his word is going to come through someone else close to us, one of our brethren. It may be that it may come in just our own personal study when we're reading God's word on our own. That'll happen. But it'll also happen when others present God's word to us. And if we're dealing with each other in areas of our weaknesses, I mean, that's what we use to do the job. We use God's word to build each other up, to give us that instruction and the correction and all of that we need, the exhortation, all of that God has given his word for. But do we turn on and get angry with whoever's correcting us? Well, do we get angry with God for saying what he says in his word? Do we get angry at his servants who use his words to try to help us, like the people of old did when God sent his prophets to them with his words? I mean, that is the common response that people will tend to have. But we can't be like that and grow in God's knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We cannot despise the chastening of the Lord. Well, if we've done wrong, and if there's something wrong in our lives, if we are not aware of it, and we don't recognize that it's wrong, and we don't see that and then have the humility to determine that we're not going to do that anymore, that we want to do what pleases God and do what's right, how is that going to come if we don't hear God's word and then receive it when it comes? And receive that chastening. When we're doing wrong and God's word lets us know that we're doing wrong, well, he's chastening us there with his word. He's telling us not to do whatever it is we're doing that's wrong, or to, if we're not doing something that's right, that we need to do that. Well, when we understand that or see that in God's word, how do we respond to it? He says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord and don't be weary of his correction. Now, in the world, we're told over and over again, well, we shouldn't judge or we shouldn't shame. I mean, these are all the kinds of buzzwords that people use. If we're ever going to in some way point out that whatever it is somebody's believing or doing isn't right, well, that's judging and shaming and all these things that we're told not to do. That's hating them. Well, the world is going to tell us to tell what God says about somebody's behavior if it's wrong, and to show what God says about that and how it is wrong, that's somehow hating the person. Well, that's not the case. Well, it shouldn't be the case. And it's not the case from God when he's telling us that we're wrong. if we're wrong and we continue in that wrong, what's going to happen to our souls in the end? We'll lose our souls. So for God to show us, okay, that's wrong, here's what's right so you can be saved, is that hatred or is that love? I mean, that's love. And God says that whom he loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Well, those of us who are parents on this earth and we know that we use correction and discipline with our children, well, we do if we love them. I mean, if our own children are doing wrong, and are we going to just be silent and watch them continue in a wrong path and say nothing and do nothing when they're doing that? Well, even if we don't have parent, if we're not parents in this life yet, we've all been brought up and we've all been children. If we're not still and under parents, we receive that ourselves. Well, what do we think of our parents for that? Of course, the world's telling us to hate our parents because of anything if they ever told us we were wrong about something, but. That's all backwards from what God says. Do we recognize that our parents, when they told us that we were doing something wrong, that they loved us for telling us that? And don't we appreciate that instruction and the discipline they gave us to train us and teach us right from wrong? Well, this is God's love for us to do that. And we need to receive it and not despise it. So we can't let the world... This is all Satan's way of trying to shut everybody's ears to what God has said, to have everybody to reject what God has said. This all fits in with his works and his ways of trying to destroy the souls of mankind. But we need to be aware of that and not fall prey to those to that temptation. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Now, if we're wise, if we're walking in the way of understanding, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take fast hold of that instruction and not let it go. And recognize it's our life. Our spiritual life depends upon our hearing what God teaches and listening to his correction so we can turn to do what his will is. Turn away from what we were doing that wasn't his will. Again, the fear of the Lord is hating that evil and turning away from it to do the good that we love and seek to see. And that's why the fear of the Lord is at the heart of this. But we have to do that and take hold of that instruction and not let it go. It is our life. Verse 20, Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." He says that over and over again in so many different ways. Proverbs chapter 5, 1 and 2. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge." And then Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, "Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Proverbs 5 verses 12 and 13, he says, and say, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." Well, that's he says, is what one should say when they have followed off into the wrong path that he's talking about in that context. For us to go in the wrong way, we're not going to be loving instruction. We'll hate it and despise reproof. But that's showing the way of foolishness there that we need to turn away from, as he taught us there in Proverbs 9 to forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Well, that's the opposite way there in Proverbs 5, 12 and 13. Verse 23, Proverbs 5, 23 says, "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Well, that's what happens when we don't have that teaching or we reject that teaching. Proverbs 6, 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So over and over again, the Lord shows us that is the way that we're going to be able to live eternally. And it is by listening to God's word and receiving his instruction and correction. Proverbs 7:24 says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth." And then Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, He says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination of my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them." And this is what God's wisdom is telling us. And that being the case, shouldn't we listen to it? "They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Now, would we rather have this world's riches, or would we rather have knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the will of God, that we may follow it? Well, if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what have we profited? As Jesus asked the question, we've profited nothing in that case. Anything that we would gain in this life, it's material, it's temporary, but God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that's something that's eternal, and will see us through eternity. So if we are wise, we're going to value that, and that's what we will seek. Proverbs 8:32-34 says, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." So we need to listen and not refuse it. But we need to be there at the gates daily, waiting to hear more, and then to respond to it and turn to the Lord and everything that he teaches us to do. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." And then Proverbs 10:17 says, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." Well, there he calls it the way of life. In chapter 9, he called it the way of understanding. But the way of understanding, as we've seen, is the way of life. So we can see the same principle brought up. To be in the road of life is to be in the way of understanding. And we've got to keep instruction and not refuse reproof. Proverbs 12, verse 1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." And then Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Now, how easy is it for us to be right in our own eyes and be able to rationalize things and justify whatever it is that we're doing, and then look at whatever is wrong is somebody else's fault? It's so easy to blame others and to make ourselves right in our own eyes. But he says that's the way of a fool. But to hearken unto counsel, that will make us wise. So we need to listen to what God says. And when God says it's us that's wrong, or we're the ones with the problem, we need to listen to that and then do something about it by doing what God says. Proverbs 13, verse 1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Proverbs 13:8, "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." Proverbs 13:13, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Proverbs 13:18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." And we know what kind of riches he's talking about, that of the spiritual and eternal kind there. Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Proverbs 15:10-12, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the words, the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." Proverbs 15:31-32, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Now here, abideth among the wise. Now here he refers to this reproof as the reproof of life. So we see this, the way of life, the reproof of life, the way of understanding. All of this involves and requires our hearing reproof. "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." So again, that's the condition of receiving understanding. And if we don't, whose enemy are we and who are we hurting? Well, first and foremost, our own selves. Proverbs 17:10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 19 and verse 25 says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. There again we see that is the condition to receive understanding. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I mean, there is no remedy when we've refused and rejected God's instruction and reproof. There's nothing more that he's going to be able to do to save us when we won't listen to him and we turn away from what he's taught us to do. In John chapter 3 in the New Testament, the same principle is taught, having now gone through several of the Proverbs, and I'm not suggesting that we looked at every, we did a survey through a lot of them, but that's not to say that we looked at every proverb or every passage in the book of Proverbs that pertains to that subject, but there's a lot of them there, as we see. Well, it's also in the New Testament, as we would expect. It's throughout God's Word. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, before we get to one of the, if not the most famous verse in the Bible, in verse 16, but John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Reference to Moses' brazen serpent, that when it was lifted up, as God said, and in a plague he brought upon the people in their wickedness, that when they looked to that serpent, that was that brazen serpent that Moses was holding, when they looked to that, then they would be spared from the plague that was befalling them. Well, that was a shadow of Christ being lifted up, and we have to look to him in faith and then obey him. And so then we have verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, what does it mean to believe in him? It's not just something we do in our minds. A lot of people think that way, but that's not what God says. We have to believe in our minds, but that conviction in our minds has to be translated into action. And that's what he goes on to teach down through verse 21. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the commandment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now what do the evil do when the light shines? Like those nasty little bugs that Samuel and Caleb are getting rid of all over Columbia. We know what they do when the light comes on. What happens if we're wicked and that spiritual light shines? God's word, which tells us that we're wrong. Well, the evil, they're running from it. But what does he say if we are doing truth? He says we will come to it. Rather than going away from it, we're going to go to the light of God's word. For what reason? So that we can see our own deeds revealed by God, that they're wrought in him. Which also means if we see our deeds are not according to what he teaches, what are we going to do? So our entire reason for going to God's word, according to this, is to find out whether what we're doing is right in the sight of God or not. And if it isn't, what are we going to do? We're going to change what we're doing and then do his will. That's our approach to God's word. If we believe in Christ, like he's teaching us to do there, we're going to believe in him and then do what he says, which is a living faith. And the passage that teaches about having a living faith, a faith that obeys God, that's James 2, 14 through 26. But before he gets to James 2, we have James 1, verses 21 through 27, where he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. What goes along with our putting away wickedness? receiving God's word. We have to receive it. And then not just, it can't just bounce off. We've got to receive it, and then to the point where he says it's engrafted. He calls it the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. Well, when it's grafted in, it's now become a part of us. So we listen to it, that word becomes a part of us. It's now how we think, it's now how we behave. But we've got to receive that in order to do that. That's the only way we're going to be able to put away wickedness. So he says in verse 22, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what's going to enable us to practice that pure and undefiled religion before God that he teaches us about in verses 26 and 27. But here he's comparing his word to a mirror. Just like in John 3, we go to the light to see our deeds revealed by God's word, whether it's wrought in him or not, so we can make sure that we're doing what's right. Here we're going to God's word to look at ourselves in the mirror. We're going there to look and see what is wrong in our lives. What is it that I'm doing or not doing in my life according to what God says that I need to change? And just like when we look in a mirror, like we all did this morning, and we saw things that needed to be corrected, we received the rebuke and we corrected what needed to be corrected. But that was with our outward man. Well, God's word, this mirror, this spiritual mirror, is showing us what's in our hearts. And then we need to receive the correction he gives us. Look at ourselves in that mirror. Here's what God says we should be like. Here's what we should do. We can see what we are, what the difference is, and then we need to change what needs to be changed. That's the way he tells us we need to approach his word. David is, of course, one of the greatest examples we have in the Word of God and in following the Lord. In Psalm 141, verse 5, this Psalm of David, Psalm 141, verse 5, he said, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." So David regarded it a kindness if a righteous man smote him. Of course, this would not be with a physical smiting, but with God's word, "Let him reprove me," as he says, "and it shall be an excellent oil." What about when, and there was only one time in David's life that we're told about when he got caught up in a multitude of sins and concerning Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. And at that time, was there a righteous man that reproved him, that smote him with God's word, that was sent to him as a prophet for what he had done? Yes, that was Nathan the prophet in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And when he presented David's situation really in the form of a parable, and David pronounced sentence on the man that was guilty, and then Nathan said, "Thou art the man. That's you. You're the one that did this." And then David humbled himself, and he repented. Now, something that to me is very interesting, when the sons of David are listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, he says, "Now these were the sons of David," in verse 1. Among them in verse 5, the ones born in Jerusalem, he says Shemaiah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, four of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Well, we know that what happened to the firstborn child, that son that was born after that rebuke that he received, that child died. And so when he's talking about the sons of Bathsheba, these all had to be born after that rebuke in 2 Samuel 12. And one of those sons that he had by Bathsheba, what did he name him? Nathan. It was that just by accident that he happened to give him the very same name as the prophet that was with David and the one that had rebuked him for what he had done in that situation? How many people would name their son after someone who rebuked them for the worst situation, the worst thing that they had done in their lives? That shows the humble heart of David. So he truly did love the ones who would correct him, not turn against them and turn against them as the wicked will do when someone reproves them. So we need to have a humble heart like David did, of course, and all that the Lord teaches us to do, and we need to receive his correction. This is the way of understanding. This is the way of life. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, this is an opportunity for you to show your humility and receiving his word by coming forward now and repenting and being baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins. As we read that God did send his son Jesus Christ into this world for his love for the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We have to believe in him, and we have to show that faith in him by turning our feet to him, by changing our minds about the way we've lived, that now we're going to live our lives for the Lord, to follow him and do his will in all things and not follow our own ways or anybody else's. So if you're ready to do that and obey the gospel of Christ and be baptized into him for the remission of your sins this morning, we're encouraging you to do that. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you need to return to him, if you have gone astray in any way, or if you need the prayers of the church this morning, we're encouraging you to come also. Anyone that needs to come now, please do so while we stand together and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Again, any announcements before Brother Aaron has our closing prayer? If not, Brother Aaron will have our prayer.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be able to come together on this first day of the week as you would have us to do. Father, we pray that everything said and done will be pleasing in your sight. And we pray that everything studied would have been able to grow from it and be edified from it spiritually. Father, we thank you for the many examples that you give us in your word, especially your son Christ. We pray that each and every day we'll continue to strive to be like him, and so that we can be examples to one another. We pray that we'll continue to grow in love and humility. Father, we want to pray for all of our brothers and sisters, those mentioned in the announcements this morning. We pray that if it is your will, you'll be with all of them, you'll heal them, and watch over them and bring them back with us. And as we leave this afternoon, we pray that you'll get us to our destination safely and bring us back again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.